SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Joe. I am Ben. In this third hour, a ton of conversation around both the association and college basketball on what is going to be a wonderful Tuesday night in the sport. This year in college hoops, it feels like each and every Tuesday, marquee matchups dot the docket, certainly in the SEC. That is what happens when you basically have half of the AP top 25 in one league. We will also live up to the billing of the early line, as we did in hour two, by looking at the division round matchups here in hour three, by taking that early look, now less than a week away from a college football playoff national championship game next Monday night in Atlanta, Georgia, inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium between Ohio State and Notre Dame. And some more college football, but perhaps NFL conversations around a coaching carousel that now will feature the Dallas Cowboys. Plenty to get to here, Joe, in this third hour.
Yeah, and a lot of very intriguing storylines still with the NFL heading into the divisional round, but it just keeps getting real interesting with the NFL franchises that need head coaches and maybe a GM or two here, Ben. I think the next couple of weeks going to be a whole lot of fun for some fan bases.
So early yesterday morning, we had six head coaching vacancies, now make that five after the full introduction of Mike Vrabel as New England's new head coach. That move by the Patriots, the first to fill a vacancy, it's basically what we expected. And then we got back up to six vacancies in terms of NFL head coaching jobs. As the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy could not come to terms on a new deal, they part ways. Boom. The Dallas Cowboys now need a new head coach for 2025. Who would be it? Kellen Moore, former offensive coordinator in Big D, former Cowboys backup quarterback, now a successful OC in Philadelphia. Who would Jerry Jones trust? What? Late last night, reports that Deion Sanders, former Cowboy, has been reached out to by Jerry Jones, and might both sides have mutual interest? Well, does it make sense, and might it actually happen? That was the question for all of you in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, does Deion Sanders make sense as the Cowboys' next head coach? Your four options. Yes, for both parties. No, not for Dallas. No, not for Deion. No, it makes zero sense for either party involved. Again, at Sports Grid on Twitter. Joe, a pretty close toss-up here between our two options at top and bottom. Yes, it would make sense for both. No, it would not make sense for either side. Which way, Joe Ranieri, did you vote in the Fade the Public poll?
I don't think it makes sense for either side in any way, shape, or form here. I think if Deion, and he has said it, was ever going to go to the NFL, and you brought it up earlier, Ben, we're talking about a guy that needs to be the story, needs to be in control, needs to be the king. And one place he will always be able to do that, Ben, is in the college ranks. He will never do that in the NFL. The only way I ever see him, and he has said that he makes the jump to the NFL, it's if he can coach his kids. He's got a quarterback and he's got a defensive back that are going to enter the draft this year. The Cowboys pick 12th. I don't think they're going to be in a position to take either of his kids. So I don't think it makes any sense for him to go to a place in which you have a owner with the biggest ego who will not relinquish anything and just screwed up the entire new coaching search by waiting to eventually let Mike McCarthy walk.
Yes, when he was, in fact, a lame duck head coach with an expiring contract that is officially over today. Mike McCarthy, a free agent now and maybe a hot commodity on the market. Yep. I'm sure he's actually pleasantly happy or pleased, I guess I would just use the term, that he is no longer under the watchful eye of Jerry Jones. Joe, I voted for neither. It would make sense for neither of these two sides in terms of a potential partnership, much like you, because you have two guys that want to have the biggest ego in the room that often deserve, at least in my estimation, to have that biggest ego, to have all of the eyeballs, to have all of the notoriety and attention. Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders. Those two things do not often coexist unless one steps back. And I don't believe that Prime is going to allow Jerry Jones to say, Deion, we want this guy as your left tackle. We are only going to spend this amount on linebackers. I don't think that's how Deion Sanders would build his organization or program. Certainly not how he has done things, kind of out on the upper threshold of how things have been done in a little bit of a cutting edge way, if you will, in college football. I don't think he wants to give up organizational control at all. And I don't think Jerry Jones is going to do what he did in the late 80s and early 90s when either it was, why am I blanking on his name? Who's the guy on the pregame show? Help me.
Troy Aikman.
Former Cowboys head coach.
Troy Aikman. Guy won is who you're Bowls. Thinking.
Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson. Thank you.
Oh, there you go.
Jerry Johnson. That didn't work out. Jimmy Johnson or Close even enough. Barry Switzer, who was there the last time they won a Lombardi Trophy. Jerry Jones's persona now far too large in 2024 as it was compared to 1994 or even 1995. I don't think this makes sense for either party. I do not believe that the Dallas job is a desirable one because of all of the control that Jerry Jones now must have in terms of this organization. I don't think it is good for Deion Sanders. I'm not sure he would see great success in Dallas. I think he is building something successful at Colorado and should remain in Boulder for the time being. I do believe the Cowboys will ultimately end up hiring somebody akin to a Kellen Moore, who has familiarity with how this franchise is run at the Star, and I think would be somewhat of a yes man in his first head coaching job in terms of what Jerry Jones wants to do. That's how I see the Cowboys head coaching search play out. I would be surprised, truthfully. I'm not surprised that it's a headline. I'm not surprised we're talking about it, that Deion Sanders has been contacted by his former boss in Jerry Jones. I would be genuinely surprised if Deion Sanders actually ends up becoming the Cowboys' next head coach.
I'd be shocked. I really would be shocked. Although, I guess at this point, we should be shocked by nothing that centers around this Dallas Cowboys organization. It also wouldn't shock me if Mike McCarthy goes to the Jets and reunites with Aaron Rodgers. I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah. I don't know if they like each other all that much, at least based
they
on
hate
reports
each other
from their ending time in Green Bay. I also don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be in New York. I think it's more likely Mike McCarthy is there with the Jets in 2025. There's been a lot of speculation that Mike McCarthy is actually a desirable head coach. He's been great offensively. He understands how to build up young quarterbacks, that maybe he would make some sense in Chicago. The Bears did seek permission to interview him before his contract is now through in Dallas. I think it makes some sense. We'll see how it plays out in the Windy City and what is next for Mike McCarthy. Again, before Mike McCarthy and probably after Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys still have the same question to answer. Sure, regular season success, but not Super Bowl success. Not playoff success. Mike McCarthy was the sixth head coach since Barry Switzer won Dallas its final Lombardi Trophy back in 1995. And all six of those head coaches unable to get back to a Super Bowl, heck, even an NFC championship game. From the NFL to college in a national championship game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are now less than a week away, 6 days out from a college football playoff national championship game in Atlanta, inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium, between two powerhouse programs in the sport, two standard bearers of success in college football, and two historic universities, Ohio State and Notre Dame. The Buckeyes, an 8.5-point favorite against the Fighting Irish, a total of 45 and a hook. Joe, a projected hypothetical national championship matchup between Ohio State and Notre Dame featured a 9.5-point spread. After the Buckeyes beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl and Notre Dame had dispatched of Penn State in the Orange Bowl on Thursday and Friday night, the actual line opened up at 9.5. It has worked back to the Fighting Irish ever so slightly, but still north of a touchdown. In your estimation, Germanary, for Monday's national championship game between the Irish and the Buckeyes, will the game be more competitive than this large 8.5-point spread might indicate?
No, I don't. I think here, Ben, that if it's going to be competitive, it's going to be because Ohio State has reverted back and shoots itself in the foot to give Notre Dame an opportunity in this game. But if the Ohio State that is we have seen in the playoffs over these last three or four games shows up, then I don't see how I think this game has all the makings of a absolute train wreck here. Not that Notre Dame doesn't deserve to be here, but I just don't believe that Notre Dame is going to be great playing from behind. I think if Ohio State plays error-free football, does not shoot themselves in the foot, I think that there might very well be a laddering situation available to people. Lay the 7, lay the 8, lay the 9, lay the 10. It could be absolute 2 touchdowns or more when it's all said and done and Ohio State wins.
Yeah, listen, that's what we are expecting from the odds perspective. Ohio State in its 3 college football playoff games is nearly outscoring opponents by 60 total points, 111-252. You divide that by 3, you do the quick math, that's an average margin of victory for the Buckeyes of 19.7 points per game. They have won each of their 3 in the CFP by now 2 touchdowns. But Notre Dame also has been pretty darn good. They closed as a slight underdog against Penn State in the Orange Bowl. They won that game outright. In fact, under Marcus Freeman, 7 times now, the Irish as an underdog, 5-1-1 against the spread with 4 outright victories, including 2 games they played against Ohio State in which they were a dog, both in early 2022 and last year in 2023. Notre Dame understands the opponent on the other side. In fact, it's their head coach's alma mater and where he played his college football as well for Marcus Freeman. Joe, let's talk about that total, 45 and a hook. It matches the lowest number we have seen for any over-under throughout the college football playoff. In fact, the last 3 games that Notre Dame has played, including this one, Sugar Bowl against Georgia, against Penn State in the Orange Bowl, first game against the Dogs under, second game because of a 31-point fourth quarter in Miami last week, did go over. If the total is correct, if it's around that number, maybe a few points under, perhaps even just a few points over, how difficult is it then for Ohio State to cover as an 8.5-point favorite?
Well, it's if you like Notre Dame, then you like the under in this game, because I don't see a game script that can unfold that sees Notre Dame winning this game in some sort of shootout, Ben. They just do not and are not built to go toe-to-toe in that kind of game. But we have seen teams against this Ohio State defense that were built and did have the weapons on the outside to stretch the field and had the passing game, and you know how that worked out for them? Yet not well. Oregon, not well. Texas, not well. Indiana. I mean, you can go down the list here. Notre Dame's defense is going to have to turn over Will Howard and Ohio State and keep this game under 45.5. If you like Ohio State to win this game and cover, Well, then there's one obvious way, Ben, that I think you have to look. I would avoid the 45.5 in case of like a late empty netter that could very well happen and push this thing over. I would then look at the Ohio State team total and look to back that over in this game.
And just tracking down that number quickly here for Ohio State's team total for a national championship, it is 27.5, a slight bit more juice on the under, but yep, that's expecting around 4 touchdowns scored by Ryan Day's Ohio State team. They did score 28, courtesy of the Jack Sawyer 83-yard fumble return touchdown, of course, in the Cotton Bowl against Texas. Two elite defenses, two of the three best scoring defenses throughout the entirety of this season, as they have both put on display throughout the college football playoff. The Buckeyes, as we have seen, the best red zone defense in the country. And Notre Dame has been pretty good as well, defending the entirety of the field. 32 takeaways for the Irish this year. That's the most at the FBS level. 151 points off those 32 turnovers. That, again, the most at the FBS level. Two critical throughout the college football playoff. The strip sack of Gunnar Stockton that led to a touchdown just one play later for Notre Dame at the end of the opening half in New Orleans. And, of course, the interception of Drew Aller with just over 30 ticks remaining in regulation that set up Mitch Jeter for the national championship clinching field goal for the Irish. A great, great matchup in my estimation in Atlanta. I do believe it'll be slightly more competitive than that 8.5-point spread. Ultimately, I believe the Buckeyes do win a national championship. Joe, I bet Ohio State to win the national title back on October 6th in the week leading up to the Oregon game. So I've got them at a plus 290 price. Of course, they are a hefty favorite now to get that done. 4-1 before this year got underway. I bet Notre Dame at plus 550 as the college football playoff bracket was unveiled. You see the 18-1 number on the Irish before the season got started. Again, I feel pretty good entering Monday night in the A. Around the association, we go up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to go around the association on this Tuesday night in the NBA, a 7-game slate that we will preview for you live right here on the Early Line. Let's start in the Central Division. Out in the Midwest to Indianapolis we go. It's the Indiana Pacers, hottest team in the Eastern Conference, winners of 6 in a row against the best team in the NBA. That's the Cleveland Cavaliers. 33-5 is the mark for the Cavs. And Joe, I do think it bears repeating. 33-5, Cleveland, 22-18 overall for Indiana. Nearly 40 games for the Cavs, exactly 40 for the Pacers. Tonight is the midway point of the year in Indy for this Pacers organization. 41 games, that's halfway through 82. Maybe as football season nears a close, you are starting to pay more attention to what is happening in the world of basketball within the association. Welcome. We've got a good one for you tonight. So as the spread looks right now, 8-point spread in favor of the Cavs, total 232.5. Joe, can Indiana stay in this game and maybe even win its 7th in a row against the best in the association?
Yeah, probably not, Ben. They just beat the Cavs at home. So kudos to them in getting it done. But it also does look like Halliburton is probably doubtful for tonight's game because of a hamstring injury. So, or at least that's what they're saying it. So if I'm the Pacers and I got a back-to-back against the best team in the NBA and certainly the Eastern Conference, and I've already won that first game on their court, I'm probably no need to sell out here to try to win a second one. And it does look like Halliburton, Naismith still out. And no Halliburton, there can't be any Pacer bet for me. The reason they've turned it around is because he's actually figured out how to shoot again, and they look a lot closer to that Pacers team from a year ago than anything we saw early on in the season here.
Huge 15-point win for the Pacers on Sunday afternoon in Cleveland. Outright is nearly a 9.5 6-point underdog to make it six wins in a row for Indiana and stop what the Cavs had rolling, a very long win streak for Cleveland as well. You're going to find many long win streaks for the Cavs when they have won 33 of 38 available games this season. They have also been booked as a favorite 35 times in 38 games. They are 23-12 against the number. They are 26-12 ATS, that being the Cavaliers this year, both the best outright record, Joe, at 33-5. In cover percentage at 26-12 against the number this year for the Cavaliers. The best team out in the Western Conference, that's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Huge matchup between the Cavs and OKC, of course, exactly a week ago that went the way of the Cavaliers, but OKC still remains that best team out West with the second best record in the NBA. 32-6 straight up. OKC tonight. Double-digit favorite on the road in Philly against the 76ers. Joel Embiid has been ruled out, Joe. It's why you see an 11-point spread in favor of Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and this will wrap up, I believe, a four-game road trip here for OKC in this one. And, yeah, you know, they've talked a lot. I'm seeing a lot of quotes out of OKC, Ben, about complacency and making sure that they take nobody for granted here, and you know they're not being reckless about it. But when you're 32-6, yeah, they're, you know, you don't want all of a sudden to be losers of four of the last five, and things can spiral out of control, and they know it. So yeah, they're an 11.5-point favorite, and I think that number is probably light. No Embiid, Caleb Martin is still questionable. It's very hard. I mean, Maxey is going to get his. Congratulations, but I don't think you're going to be able to compare to what OKC can put up here.
Yeah, and Joe, it's been a season already for Philadelphia defined by injury. Will Joel Embiid ever play again? I'm saying that facetiously. Jared McCain now ruled out for the remainder of this season after a sensational start to his rookie campaign in the NBA. Listen, it's where things are right now for Philadelphia. OKC has a 32-6 regular season record, but technically has played 39 total games, a loss in the NBA Cup. So they've been booked as a favorite 37 of 39 games, only a dog twice. Season opener on the road in Denver, won that game outright, short underdog last week against Cleveland, lost that game and did not cover as a favorite. 24-11-2 against the spread. Second best cover percentage booked as the favorite side this year. That's darn good. More on the hardwood next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We can continue the hardwood handicaps here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. A couple more thoughts around the association and then into another marquee night in the SEC. It's what basically each and every conference night of action is in the Southeastern Conference. We go back to the NBA. Seven-game slate on this Tuesday. We head now to Dallas. The Mavericks, a home underdog, catching 3.5 points against the Denver Nuggets. Total stands at 233. I believe a question of availability will be how this game is played out. Nikola Jokic has a points prop. He is out there for Denver. Still no Luka Doncic for the Mavs, but Kyrie Irving set to be in the lineup tonight, 23 in a hook, the number on Kyrie. Joe, how do you see this game playing out tonight between the Mavs and the Nuggets?
Well, I mean, let's face it. Denver is, seven of the last nine, I think they've won. This is the second game against Dallas, and they had no problem handling business last time out. But again, it's all a matter of the injuries with Dallas. They've lost six of their last eight. And no Doncic, but they haven't had Kyrie. It's been rough sledding. It really, really has here. The idea that they're getting Kyrie back here tonight, I think, is great. But let's not forget Denver missing a pretty big piece for them as well as Aaron Gordon had been out forever. And that's a different team without him on the court And it does appear, Ben, that he'll be back again. He missed 9 games there, but he was in that game on Sunday. He had 13 points, 6 and 6 boards. I think he's a big part of Denver. I think Kyrie's not going to be enough for me to sway it to try to take Dallas to get even here. I think Denver, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I ain't getting in front of that train right now.
Honestly, a line that I expected to be a little bit higher than it is at only 3.5 in favor of the Nugs right now. To your point, without Luka Doncic, Dallas has lost 6 of their last 8. Luka injured, of course, early in the game on Christmas Day. The Mavs won their first. Now they have dropped 6 of their last 8. First game for Kyrie Irving since New Year's Day, January 1st, so nearly missing a week and a half or so. And Joe, for the Mavericks in these 6 losses, they have not covered once in any of the 6 L's. They have been an underdog 5 times. Again, no covers as a dog in those losses. And in 4 of the 5 as a dog, total has stayed under. Feels like a large hill to climb for the Mavericks, even at home tonight against Denver, but yet the line works a little bit back to Dallas. Huge night in the SEC, really huge Tuesday night in college basketball. Let's start with a new number one team in the country. That's the Auburn Tigers. They have been an absolute wagon all year. They already have 7 quad one wins, one of 2 teams around the country, along with Oregon, that has more than 5 quad one victories, and both the Tigers and the Ducks have 7. Auburn number one in the country, and it's a top 15 tilt tonight on the Plains against Mississippi State. 7.5 point spread in favor of the Tigers. Total stands at 149.5, so dropping ever so slightly. Of course, big news tonight for Auburn, not just being the new number one team in the nation, but more than likely playing without Jani Broome, who is the favorite to win the Wooden Award as National Player of the Year, injured his ankle over the weekend. Not expected to be overly severe, but his status unclear for tonight. 7.5 point spread, Joe, against the Bulldogs from Stark Vegas. How do you see it playing out?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, too, because Bruce Pearl said it's significant, too. They did have an MRI, and, you know, a significant high ankle sprain like that, Ben, is there's no timetable here. It could be a while. But they don't have time to cry here, because they're going to have their hands full with Mississippi State here tonight, who, by the way, has only lost 2 games so far this year. They're going to have to figure some things out, unfortunately, offensively without him in that lineup. So I do think it's going to be interesting. Can they be as efficient offensively while he is out? And boy, are they going to get tested defensively. They're going to be hounded here tonight. I think this is a big, big test to see whether or not Auburn is truly worthy of that number one spot. Because if they can figure it out against this Mississippi State team and cover, not only win, but cover this one, Ben, oh boy.
Yeah.
Auburn has to be taken seriously here for a national championship.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. And if they can do that with the depth behind Jani Broome, that would be something. But obviously, Mississippi State top 15 team, Chris Jans, has a great squad for the Bulldogs this year. Elsewhere in SEC play, yet another top 25 tilt. Number 4, Alabama, playing host to number 21, Ole Miss tonight. Double-digit spread in favor of Nate Oates' Crimson Tide, and a total at 163.5. What's the play tonight for this top 25 matchup in Tuscaloosa?
Well, it's going to be interesting, right? If you are Chris Beard, you're going to have to figure out a way to slow down this Alabama team, aren't you, here? And they're going to have to do, I wouldn't want to get into a shootout with Alabama, Ben, right? So you're going to have to, Chris Beard going to have to take out a page in his old Texas Tech days there and figure it out defensively and make them earn everything. It feels like a big number. Alabama is capable of getting this, of covering this number, but I don't know. I think Ole Miss could very well give them a tough time here and could keep it within this. Look at that total, too, at 162.5.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a high total working its way up now live at 163.5. Not surprising for the type and style of basketball that we see out of the Crimson Tide, of course, under Nate Oates. But that's probably Ole Miss's way of keeping this game under that total and within striking distance, 11.5 point spread. Joe, again, it is no surprise to see many top 25 matchups within the SEC. It is the best conference in college basketball this year, without a shadow of a doubt. Four of the top six teams in the AP poll, six of the top 10, seven of the top 15. That is how good this conference is up and down. So we now go to Kentucky and Texas A&M. I said six of the top 10, six of the top 11, as we include the Aggies. 6.5-point spread in favor of Mark Pope's Cats tonight inside Rupp Arena. Total 158.5. How do you break down the SEC showdown tonight in Lexington?
And this is a rough stretch here for the Aggies, isn't it? What is this, their third straight against a top 15 or 16 in the country? They've they split the first two. They did beat Oklahoma by a couple what was a crazy slugfest. And then, of course, Alabama crazy, yeah, on Saturday. And they didn't have Wade Taylor for that one. It's to be determined. But I don't know if we've heard on whether or not he's going to be available for this one. But it feels like, yes, Kentucky at home, they're going to have their hands full. Another great shooting night for Kentucky there, which is what allowed them to be able to win their last game. It feels like an over, Ben. If you like Kentucky, you got to like the over in this one.
Yeah, and for Wade Taylor, Joe, that senior point guard that really leads the way for Buzz Williams, ruled out tonight in Lexington against the Cats. Listen, Texas A&M has been great this year, 11th in the country. Yes, they did suffer a loss on the road, or at home, excuse me, against the Crimson Tide on Saturday in a high-scoring game, 94-88. But we know the staples of what Buzz Williams' teams do well. They defend the crap out of the basketball, 13th most efficient defense in the country. That is A&M, and they are going to crash the glass on both sides. Best offensive rebounding team in the country. That is A&M. But Kentucky can shoot from everywhere. It's what Mark Pope teams do very, very well. That total, 158 and a hook. Joe Ranieri, as always, it is great to be on the early line with you. John Rothstein joins us next, so we bid you adieu, my friend. Go get some relaxation. I'm sure you got a tea time coming up in like an hour anyway.
It's a good thing you reminded me of that, Ben. We'll see you again on Friday.
Don't miss the first tee, my friend. John Rothstein joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You want to know why college basketball is a glorious thing? Just look at the Tuesday night slate that we have before us on this Tuesday, January 14th. We've got top 25 matchups that go across the entire docket on the schedule tonight in every power conference you can think of. And how better to rein in this glorious Tuesday in college hoops than with John Rothstein, live right here on this Tuesday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. Already has the tie on. This man means business. Joining us on behalf of the FanDuel Sportsbook and, of course, doing great work with CBS Sports. John, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Ben, always great to be with you. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, and what a happy Tuesday it is in the sport of college basketball. John, when you have six teams that rank in the AP top 11, seven in the top 15, eight in the top 25 overall, that being the SEC, you are basically going to have multiple top 25 tilts each and every night of conference play. And that includes the new number one team in the country, number one Auburn, at home tonight in a top 15 tilt against 15th ranked Mississippi State. New territory for the Tigers, John, as the top team in the AP top 25. What is the key for Auburn remaining number one throughout this week, starting tonight against the Bulldogs?
Well, Auburn has to find a way to progress without Jani Broome, who is obviously out due to an ankle injury. Auburn now, again, possessing the depth needed to replace him with other players that are capable of filling a spot. You're never going to replace Jahni Broome with one man, but the players who will see their usage increase, Janie Johnson, Dylan Carwell, they need to be right now big-time producers for Auburn to beat a team like Mississippi State, who again gave up 95 points at home to Kentucky on Saturday night, which is unfathomable for a Chris Jans coach team.
John, you shared that when Auburn returned home this weekend, they had an MRI done on Jahni Broome's ankle that he suffered a sprain in the matchup against South Carolina. Non-surgical ankle sprain is what you mentioned. What is the status of Jahni Broome for the remainder of the SEC slate?
Well, again, we don't have a set timetable yet for Jahni Broome's return, but a comparable injury, I think, you know, Ben, at this juncture could be probably similar to what UConn is dealing with for Liam McNeely. So usually that's a couple of weeks. So if you told me that Jahni Broome returned at sometime in late January, early February, I think that's a safe estimate. Now, things are going to change over the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know, a lot of different factors in college basketball. Without Jahni Broome playing for the next few weeks, that could open the door for other players, Marquette's Cam Jones, Duke's Cooper Flagg, who had 42, 7 assists and 6 rebounds Saturday against Notre Dame, to potentially leap ahead of him in the National Player of the Year race. Now, another thing to keep in mind, Auburn right now is firmly entrenched as a projected number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and the NCAA tournament selection committee will take into account any games that the Tigers do drop without Jahni Broome. But there is a chance in the rugged SEC that Auburn could take some losses. And Ben, 8 weeks from Sunday will be Selection Sunday, and I think it's always important in the sport of college basketball to look at things from 30,000 feet. Remember this, every time Auburn plays, Auburn is playing to be the number one seed in the South region. Why is that so important? Yeah. That means first and second round games in Lexington, and more importantly, it would mean Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games in Atlanta, which has been a second home to Auburn in recruiting, in neutral site games. That is what the Tigers are playing for. It's harder to get there without the National Player of the Year favorite, Jahni Broome, in the lineup. But Ben, you know as well as I do, this is only January.
It is only January, but the impact of what this injury could be throughout the entirety of college basketball. John, as we shared last week when we were together, Auburn's Jahni Broome was the minus money, odds-on favorite to win the Wooden Award after a 42-point performance, the ACC freshman record, and the injury to Broome. Cooper Flagg, now that minus money favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Back to tonight's action. Top 25 tilt, as they often feel like they all are in the SEC in Tuscaloosa. A fourth-ranked Alabama, 21st-ranked Ole Miss, and a double-digit spread in favor of the Crimson Tide. What is the matchup to look out for tonight in Tuscaloosa?
Well, you have to look at the depth of Alabama against the physicality and the experience of Ole Miss. You know, I talked to Chris Beard yesterday, and he told me that Alabama has incredible depth, obviously considerably deeper than the team a year ago that went to the Final Four for the first time in program history. But the constant for this team is Mark Sears. And after a slow start to the season, Mark Sears has regained his All-American caliber form. And Alabama, Ben, has been a virtual wrecking machine to start SEC play, averaging over 96 points per game thus far in conference play, entering tonight's game in Tuscaloosa against the 14-2 Rebels.
It's why you see that total at 163 and a hook. John, as we have shared, six of the AP top 11 from the SEC, including both Kentucky and Texas A&M. Tonight in Lexington, an SEC showdown. What do you think the ceiling is for both of these clubs that will square off tonight inside Rupp Arena?
Well, Texas A&M showed me a lot last week, playing without Wade Taylor IV, their All-American guard, who, according to the SEC injury report, is going to miss tonight's game at Rupp Arena as well. SEC play has been a juggernaut so far. Texas A&M went on the road and beat Oklahoma and Norman without Wade Taylor IV. Texas A&M took Alabama to the brink without Wade Taylor IV. I think when healthy, Texas A&M is a Final Four dark horse. And I think you have to look at Kentucky right now, along with Michigan, as being arguably the most aesthetically pleasing teams in the sport. I have the utmost respect for Chris Jans as a coach. I have never seen a team play better offensively against Chris Jans' teams since he was at Mississippi State than what Kentucky did on Saturday night in Starkville, putting up 95, shooting better from 50 from the field and 50% from three. It was a clinic offensively by Mark Pope, who again and again continues to reiterate why he's such a perfect fit for that job. Ben, it's hard to believe 29 years ago, Mark Pope was obviously the captain on the greatest Kentucky team and probably the best team I've ever seen in my lifetime. The 96 team led by Rick Pitino, who will lead St. John's tonight against Georgetown. What a Tuesday, but this is only January.
It is only January. More of the Early Line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we get you set for a huge Tuesday night all around college basketball. A focus on the SEC because of how many top 25 ranked tilts we have on a nightly basis in that conference. But now we go elsewhere around the sport. You heard John mention Cooper Flagg, 42-point performance on Saturday in a Duke win against Notre Dame. The ACC freshman scoring record for the guy that's going to go first overall this upcoming June in the NBA draft. We expected Cooper Flagg to be this good. He has lived up to that expectation so far. And as we shared, because of the injury to Auburn's Jahni Broome, the ankle sprain that will probably sideline him for multiple weeks, the missing of availability, and the time that Cooper Flagg will have on the floor with those historic performances thus far, Cooper Flagg now a minus 350 favorite to win the Wooden Award. He was the preseason favorite to win this award as well. And Duke is rolling. Perfect in the ACC. 6-0. They've been a double-digit favorite in five of those six games, as they will be tonight against Miami. A Miami team that just a couple of years ago made it to the Final Four. A year prior to that, they made it to the Elite Eight. It has been a disastrous season for the Canes, who are winless, 0-5 in the ACC after a 3-0 start. Miami has dropped 12 of its last 13 games, of course, not all that long ago. Coach L, as he is known in Coral Gables and really all around college basketball, Jim Larrañaga, retiring, so Miami is in a tailspin. Thus, the 22.5-point spread tonight inside Cameron Indoor. More SEC action. Florida, a top five team, one of those four SEC team ranked in the top six of the AP poll. Intriguing one in Big East play. Marquette heads to DePaul. Chris Holtman off to a great start in his first year in the Windy City. Double-digit spread. Might the Blue Demons be able to keep this game within the number? Home floor advantage, man. We know how important it can be in conference hoops. We saw that on Saturday. Indiana, who went to Carver Hawkeye in Iowa City on Saturday night against the Hawks, got their doors blown off. 85-60. IU at home, some impressive outings. IU on the road, lackluster to say the least. But the Hoosiers are at home, catching 3.5 tonight against Illinois. The Illini hoping to bounce back as well, dropping a 19th in the poll. But this Illinois team has been able to put up some really impressive offensive performances with one of the best freshmen in the sport, Kasperis Jakaciūnas, who should be out there tonight, at least at last check. More Big Ten action, Ohio State and Wisconsin. The Badgers now crack the top 25 in that AP poll, laying 6.5 against the Buckeyes. Wisconsin has been playing really good hoops. I would lay 6.5 with the Badgers tonight. Arizona unranked, but we know how good they can be in Tucson, first year in the Big 12, catching 5.5 against the Baylor team. Really been up in the air this year. 11-4, the mark already for Scott Drew's Bears. Plenty of great action elsewhere, not just with ranked teams in the fold. John mentioned how Rick Pitino and the Red Storm hosting Georgetown tonight. Keep an eye on the Hoyas, already playing much better basketball in the Big East in year two under Ed Cooley than they had in year one. or really any of the Patrick Ewing era during his time there in D.C. Tonight, here in the greater New York City area, 8.5-point spread in favor of the Johnnies against Georgetown. Other intriguing Big East matchups early in the day, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time in Cincinnati. Villanova catching 2.5 against the Musketeers, 145 and a hook. Another disastrous start for year number three under Kyle Neptune on the main line. But Nova has figured something out, certainly here in Big East play. So much good college basketball tonight. Really, you could go up and down the docket and find a game that you can find some intrigue in. Big 12 battle, Texas Tech and Kansas State. The Wildcats struggling mightily this year with Jerome Tang in a year that was supposed to be promising. More Big 12 battles. BYU, 14-point favorite at home in Provo against Oklahoma State. Kevin Young in his first year there for BYU, a very stout offensive team. Plenty of great action around the country tonight. Again, another reminder of why you do not wait until March to watch college basketball. These kind of nights, each and every night, now with conference action fully underway in college hoops. That does it for today on the Early Line. We return tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on a Wednesday on TEL.